I was going over my old racing forms, having a beer and a smoke, really hungover, shaky, depressed, gently thinking suicide, but still hoping for a lucky angel, when there was a knock on the door, a very light knock. I barely heard it. I listened and there it was again. I hid my bag of Chesterfields under the fireplace and opened the door just a slit. "Bukowski?" said the voice. "Charles Bukowski?" And there was this woman standing out in a light rain, in the 9 p.m. rain between two dying plants on the front porch of the front court in which I lived, badly among beer and mouse shadows and old copies of Upton Sinclair and Thomas Wolfe and Sinclair Lewis. And I looked out, and it was a woman. And what a woman in that 9 p.m. rain. Long red hair all down the back. Jesus. Tons of red miracle. And the face open with passion, like a flower ripped open with the fingers from the bud. A kind of fire cheating. And the body. The body was nothing but sex. Sex standing still, jumping, singing, looking, flowing, humming in the 9 p.m. rain, saying, "Bukowski, Charles Bukowski?" And I said, "Come on in." And she did. She came in and sat on the chair in front of the fireplace. And the walls of the room began to weave in and out, like on a trip. And the rug said, "What the hell? Oh my God. Ooh. Ooh." And she crossed her legs. And the skirt was high. And I looked up the thighs boldly. Jesus. I was out of my skull. Thighs, knees, high heels, long, tight stockings, flow and flesh, oh Lord. And she kicked her foot, turned on ankle. Ow, 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 mercy. And the red hair flocked all along the back of the chair. The red hair on fire in the lamplight. I could barely hold on, and I could barely understand. I did not deserve to even look. I knew it. "Care for a beer?" I asked. "All right," she said. I got up, and I could hardly walk. I had enough hose to put out a forest fire of napalm. I came back with the beer, didn't give her a glass. Watched her drink it from the bottle. That stuff going into her red hair, into her body, into her everywhere. And I peered up her legs, not getting enough. And I drank out the bottle. She put down her bottle. "You are a great writer," she said. "That's no reason for coming to see me." "Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You see, you fascinate me. You write this way and you look like
the trash man?"
"Yes, or a diseased gorilla. An undergrown aged gorilla dying of cancer. And those goddamn eyes, slits of eyes, but when you finally open them for just that second. Shit, I never saw eyes like that. That color. That vicious fire."
"And you came here to see what I was. See what I am, oh?"
"I guess so. I don't know. I don't know why I'm here. I don't. I only know that I'm here. I can't help it.
You're a gorilla. You're some kind of snake. You're anything filthy. You stink. I don't know you. I know that you're not the guy at Brian's staff meetings, threatening cripples, staggering about the room, cursing everybody and looking for more to drink, more to drink, more to drink. Such a swine you are. A woman always wants to find the core, tame it, mold it. A wise man never shows the core to a woman. He just gives her a shot of light, shuts it off, becomes himself again. A woman practices rearing the child by taming the man first. I've got no use for women except to fuck them. I won't be trapped in. Love is a form of selfishness. Love is an excuse for cowards to quit. Nicely spoken. Sounds all right, bastard. But what does it mean? She lifted her beer bottle again, recrossed her legs, the skirt going higher. Jesus have mercy. The skirt going higher. All that leg, all that thigh, all that red hair. God. I got up and pulled the beer bottle from her mouth and put my dirty bearded face to hers. My lips sucking and twisting at hers, hard, full, crazy. She did not push me away. I grabbed her under the back. I had her back arched. I had her head rolling on the back of the chair. Our lips splashed together, spliced together crazy. My hand under the back of that big body. God. The beer bottle knocked over and spewing on the floor. And I reached down with the other hand and ripped her skirt all the way up. Lord, Lord, Lord. Then I had her standing. I was walking, pushing her all over the room. Feeling that red hair around my ears, across my face. Feeling miracle and madness. And then I worked the pants down, and then I had her. I had her. I had her. And I worked. I grabbed that long red hair, and I yanked down on it. I had her back arched. Arched, hurting her. And I had her. I worked. And holding the hair still in my hands and back, I got the cheeks and spread them. I had her nailed in the center of the rug. I had her on the cross. It was too late for her. She was on spike. Ripped, ripped, and the yellow light from the lamps bathed us. And all that could be heard was our breathing and our grappling. Who would have guessed? Who? And then bang. The wall shook. A man off the street stepped on a grease pot, fell and broke his ankle, and we slid apart like worms going in different directions. Then she stood there and said, "Ooh, ooh, ooh. I liked it, I liked it, I liked it, you filthy, greasy pig." And then she turned and walked into the bathroom and closed the door. I went into the kitchen, took a dish towel, wiped off. Got out two more beers, lit a smoke. She came on out, looking better than ever. She glowed all over burning. She was really beautiful. I could say it easy, she was really beautiful. I drank my beer and looked at her, neither of us saying anything. I lit her a cigarette. Then I had to piss. I went to the bathroom, closed the door, pissed, flush, washed my hands, came out, and she was gone. Fast like that. No goodbye, nothing. I looked at the chair she had sat in, at the beer bottle on the floor. No, it had happened. Yes, I found one of her earrings. A green earring, just one. It's always one earring. What the hell? But never an earring like this. I drank my beer straight down, walked outside. It was cold. All up and down the long parade, it was the same. People locked in tight, behind doors, behind windows. Everybody with their possessions, their people, their madness, their bank accounts, their car keys, their walnut faces, their constipation. I looked north where I figured she lived with some fine intellectual chap who spoke the big words and the big meaning. Some guys got these dolls automatically. I was lucky to see a photo in a newspaper. I took the earring, the green earring, and threw it north hard, high in the dark sky. It flew out of sight in the neon mash of light from Sunset Boulevard, a block north, and I said, "Hey, baby, your earring back and your life and all the rest, baby, baby. But thanks for the splendid grade A, triple A fuck." Then I went back inside, found her still untouched beer, picked it up, drank, drank, drank. Found the racing form, sat down in her chair, and began checking out my plays for the Santa Anita meet. And then I found one very long red hair along the arm of my chair, and I picked it up and touched the end of it to my cigarette. It sizzled and shriveled and smoked ever so slightly. I moved the cigarette right up along the hair until it was all burned except to the smallest bit in my fingers. Then I put that in the ashtray and burned that. Charles Bukowski, immortal writer, immortal lover. You can't go home again. It's all too late. I worked at the beer.